The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Giordano's, Miller Lite, and University of Phoenix.
Good evening from the Chicago Bears Network studios inside Hallis Hall. It's another edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zabeman, pleased to be joined for the full hour by one of the leaders of the Bears locker room, left tackle Jermon Bushrod, on this bye week. And boy, this bye week probably came at the best possible time for you guys.
Yeah, we need a break right now, mentally, physically, and emotionally. Things did not go the way that we wanted to the first half of the season, and we're in quite the hole, but we have to be mentally and strong enough to find a way to get out of it.
You know, you kind of really don't have a decision because it's part of the collective bargaining agreement. But do you like getting away for this length of time in the middle of the season? Because some guys, you know, you're a pro, but some young guys are challenged mentally to remember what they knew last Sunday, and they got to know again in 2 weeks.
Yeah, you know, you have to do a good job of getting away, but not getting away too much. Like, this is not a vacation.
Right.
This has to be just a time for you to get your body back physically. You need to get your mind right. I mean, because there's so many emotions, so many things that go into playing a game, practicing, competing every single day. That the good thing is that it did come after our eighth game in the season, so you know we do have like a break right in the middle of it. So we just have to find a way to regroup. We have to regroup and come back to work, and we got to be ready to go.
Who do you sit with on the plane on the way home?
Usually offensive lineman. Last couple weeks has been Brian De La Puente.
The reason I ask that is because through my era, when we get on the team plane, it was a camaraderie session because we had nothing else to do. Now you guys go right to a working atmosphere. You got that video, and it's fresh in your mind while you're getting an opportunity to watch it. How do you like that work portion of the trip home? Do you like to get away from it? Do you like to get right into it? And do you sit there and watch it with a teammate?
The good thing is the way technology is now. I mean, we have our iPads, and by the time we get on the plane, we connect to the Wi-Fi, and it's there in a couple of minutes. So after a win, you know, you want to watch the film as soon as you can. But then, you know, after a loss, it's like, you know, it might take a little bit, but still, like halfway through the ride home or through the flight home, you kick that iPad on and you figure out the mistakes you made, just so you kind of mentally know what you're going to get yourself into come correction time the next day, you know. And the crazy thing about that, or the funny thing about that, the older I get, you don't have to tell me my mistakes. I know the mistakes I make. You know, I know them if it happens out there on the field. But, you know, once correction time comes, I mean, I'm already writing before it's my turn to get corrected.
It's amazing, though, how it sits in your head, though, isn't it? But it's nice to be fresh where you can get on the plane and almost start the correction period immediately.
Yeah. It's a good thing. It's a good thing for us, and it's a good resource that we have.
Visiting with Bears left tackle Jermon Bushrod here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. This segment is brought to you by Subway. Stop by your local Subway restaurant today and try a flavor-packed double meat sub from the Bears lineup. Limited time only. Subway, eat fresh. What are you guys saying amongst yourselves inside that locker room? Because you know what's being said about the Bears outside of the building. But when you talk to your buddies on the team, what do you guys talk about after eight games? Are you as surprised as everyone else as to what's transpired here?
Yeah. I mean, I know the fans feel bad. You know, they're frustrated with us. But the amount of frustration that we have, it's triple that. Because we, you know, this is our livelihood. This is what we do. This is why we get up every single morning. You know, this is why we're training day after day. And then the fact that we can't come out here and execute the way that we know we're capable of, that hurts. I mean, as far as us, it's just about us continuing to keep that mindset. You know, keep our eyes on the prize. I mean, I'll say the same thing to the day they lay me in the ground, man. You have to continue to – you got to continue to work. You got to continue to find a way. It isn't always going to be pretty. You know, it isn't always going to be perfect. But, you know, as a unit, as a team, as offensive line, and as an individual, you have to find a way.
You know, it's interesting because you came here with a lot more pressure on you than you probably knew, but the Bears fans knew, because the Bears offensive line hadn't had a lot of success for a period of time. Since you've been here, you've kind of been a rock at the left tackle and a rock for the offensive line, and every time you have to talk publicly, you know exactly what to say. Is it your past experiences in New Orleans? Is it your past experiences with someone you grew up with, a coach, that it got you into this role? Or is it the fact that all offensive linemen are good guys?
I'll take the good guy thing, but you know, I've had opportunity. I've played a good amount of football. Right. I've been in a lot of different situations. I've been on a Super Bowl winning team. Right. I've been on a team that started 0-4. I've been in great, you know, great organizations in New Orleans and in here. I mean, this is Chicago. I mean, this is it when it comes to football organizations. So I'm just trying to do my part to protect this organization, to protect our team, and find a way to get our message across without, you know, giving someone else something extra to talk about.
You know, your birthday's August 19th, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're a Leo.
Yeah.
What
is going on
here? There's a point to this question.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm August 16th, and somebody once gave me a book about Leos, and mm-hmm. I read a couple pages, and I threw it away because it kind of describes what we have to be. You got to be kind of self-centered. You got to be overconfident. You got to be willing to put yourself out there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I hear you be interviewed by Zach after the game, I don't think a lot of people know how emotional that moment is after the game. Because even if there's 5 minutes left in the game, you still got to go out there and play for that five
right.
minutes. But that immediate seconds after the game, man, that's when the challenge is there, and you know you're going to go in front of a lot of people.
Yeah. He got me on the field yesterday, and that was actually probably one of my first on-field interviews after a loss like that. So it took a lot out of me because, you know, it was a lot of energy going into that game, a lot of emotion, and the fact that we lost that game the way that we did.
You haven't been through anything like that, because I heard you say that you haven't had a loss like the one you had in New England the other day. That one hit you differently.
No, yeah, I mean, I've been in games where we've lost like that before, but it's just we needed that. We really needed that, especially going into the bye. You know, going into the bye, it would have been better to be sitting 4-4 than three than sitting 3-5. You know, it'd have been just a better situation for us to be in, but it didn't work out.
We got to take a timeout. When we come back, let's look ahead to the second half of the season and what needs to happen to kind of flip this thing around. Jermon Bushrod is here. So is 85 Bear, Tom Thayer, both Leos. I'm a Leo, too. This is a power program. Oh, yeah. Late July, my friend.
This is
Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Back inside the Chicago Network studios here inside Hallis Hall with Jermon Bushrod and Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. The Bears thank Giordano's Famous Stuffed Pizza for providing dinner tonight. Stop by one of their 44 Chicagoland locations for Chicago's favorite stuffed pizza, or visit Giordano's.com to order now. You've been getting a lot of questions after every game. What's wrong? What's wrong? How do you fix it? But you guys have to fix it. The season isn't stopping for you. There are 8 games to go. What's it going to take? Let's start with the offensive line and then kind of work back to what it's going to take for the entire offense to raise the level of play.
Well, I mean, it all starts with us. I mean, it's hard for me to, you know, talk about other positions because I'm not in their meetings and I don't go over the things that they go through. But as far as the offensive line and what we're continuing to do to help this offense succeed, we have to fight to be on the same page at during every single snap. We have to find a way to execute. You know, I mean, we've been doing a lot of good things, and then sometimes we shoot ourselves in the foot, and that's starting with myself. You know, there's some plays in every single game I wish I could get back, and some at the wrong times. You know, you can make a mistake here and there, but you can't make it at the wrong time, or you can't have too many breakdowns on, you know, one single play. I'll always say that, you know. I mean, when you have 11 guys out there all doing the same, you know, all doing their job, sometimes things won't work out on every single play. But, you know, you have to find a way to minimize that too much, you know, to the best of our ability. And up front, you know, we just got to continue to grind. We got to continue to work. I mean, we got to continue to put the extra lifts in. We have to do the extra technique stuff on the field. We got to put the extra film work in, which we're going to do, which we have to do.
But that, you know, that goes for everybody. You know, I think at this stage of the season, you know, physical errors are going to come. That's part of the NFL, and that's part of offensive line play. And, you know, if you block 74 plays right, and, you know, you never get credit for it because it's going to go. But I think the mental aspect of the game, you know, you got Michael Ola, Brian De La Puente, you got the changing of personnel, Eben Britton playing all over the place. The big picture of continuity, it's tough for an offensive line to get it when you have so many interchangeable bodies from week one. And I think that's the thing that can be really settling for the offense. If you can go into the second portion of the season, settle on a group of five, and that's when you can have that sustained success.
Yeah, that would be nice. You know, I know this offseason, that was a big thing that everyone was talking about, how healthy we were last year. And, like, this year, yeah, I feel like our starting five, you know, we can't even finish a game, you know, and that's just the way football works out sometimes. But, you know, whoever's in there, whoever gets the opportunity when someone goes down, we have to do a good job of communicating and getting each other, you know, on the same page. I mean, because when you throw somebody else in there, you know, on the right side or the left side, you know, guys have a different way of playing things, a different way of communicating. I mean, we get up to the line, it's Lawson and myself, and half the time we don't even make the calls because we just know. You know, we just know the situation we're in. We wait for the mic call, and our technique just runs after that.
Crowd noise, it's, you know, 5 years ago, crowd noise seemed to be the biggest factor to derail an offensive line. It doesn't seem to be the case anymore with you. And I always say during the season, I think Jay does a lot of his best work when he breaks the huddle and gets you guys into a rhythm to be able to all be organized on the same time in that silent count. Why is it that your guys are so efficient? Is it just something now repetitiously you do enough to get good at it?
Yeah, I mean, if we're playing away, anytime we're playing away, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we have some big speaker out there just blaring noise to the point where it seems like we're at an away game. So during the week, we get chances to practice our silent cadence. We get chances to communicate in the noise, and I mean that's really where it starts. I mean, come Wednesday, come Thursday, come Friday, we're running 30 to 40 plays every single day, so we have to, you know, we have to get up to the line. We can't walk up to the line because our quarterback has to get up and he has to make the right calls, and we have to make adjustments when needed. And then, you know, within those 8 to 12 seconds we have to snap the ball, you know, we're communicating to the best of our ability, then it's just time to go.
We're visiting with Tremont Bushrod, the Bears' left tackle, here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zaidman. When you look at last year, and you didn't have to deal with any injury issues until the final game when Jordan went down with a broken foot, have teams defended you guys differently than a year ago when you guys came close to averaging 30 points a game?
I guess on the back end, you know, they're going to switch their coverages up, and teams are going to do things to try to get our receivers off routes, but, you know, the type of offense that we have, the type of, you know, players that we have, if they're playing man or zone or press or whatever, if they're playing off, you know, we have answers for all that. It's just about, you know, all 11 of us executing.
You know, in your role in the locker room, and everybody executing all that, and I think when you talk your leadership, that's the general public would like to hear that. How do you take your message to the other side of the ball when the locker room doors are closed and no one else is listening? How do you take your voice to the defense in terms of encouragement, you know, your leadership role? And again, you know, it can't just only be about the defensive players. You have to have spillover. You know, you have to talk to Stephen Paya or Jared or all these guys.
Well, that kind of stuff, you know, the thing about us, we're always, we're competing every single day, but Wednesday, during the week, we're trying to, you know, help. We're trying to help each other out during the week. You know, if we see something that the opposing team does, or we know the type of player they are, you know, we try to help them out during the game or things like that. You know, once we run off the field, you know, I might try to say something to one of our defensive ends, you know, to just to help them out a little bit more, just, you know, from what I'm seeing in the game, because, I do get the opportunity to watch these guys. So, you know, we're trying to work with each other hand in hand, trying to encourage each other, you know, when we go out on the field. And, you know, I've never really been that type of rah-rah guy. You know, I'm always just I try to keep, the same demeanor throughout. I try to, just go play. You know, I just try to go play.
Who do you lock her next to upstairs?
I'm by Willie.
Because it is a unique locker room here, because it's not you don't lock her next to your best friends or your offensive line teammates. Mm-hmm. So you have Willie on one side.
I got Willie on one side, and actually I have a vacant space.
Oh, that's a veteran. You get real estate inside of a locker room is important.
Oh,
if you have that extra real estate, you're big time, you're a veteran, you've earned it.
Coming up next, what does he put in the extra locker? We'll find out next with Jermon Bushrod.
I'm a locker hoarder, man.
Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zibman. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. This segment of Bears All Access is brought to you by H.H. Gregg Appliances, Electronics, Furniture. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, Zach Zibman here, along with Bears left tackle Jermon Bushrod, who's got the double lockers. How much gear do you have?
Well, I mean, his shoes take up one whole locker itself.
Yeah, I mean, I got all kinds of stuff over there. I got, extra change of clothes. I got all kind of goodies, man. You know, I just need that extra space. As Willie Young would call it, you know, I just have an extra yard. I have an extra lot, you know. So I don't have to hear his mouth every time my foot is over by his locker. You know, I can get out the way.
Does he keep his fishing rods inside your locker?
He has all kinds of stuff. It's just, it's ridiculous.
Hey, what little kid sports did you play? Did you ever wrestle?
No.
Basketball?
Yeah. I was actually I love baseball growing up. I didn't play football until I was in seventh grade.
So – kids today, you encourage them to play multiple sports?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. I could have never – no. I don't like it. I don't like the fact that you got a high school baseball player who plays baseball all spring, then they got to come in and do it all fall, and then they do it all summer. You get burnt out.
Well, you think the sports that you played as a kid and the feet that you have to have as a left tackle, because, you know, that's if you don't have the feet to play left tackle, then forget it. And that's the thing about it. As a kid growing up, somewhere along the line, you got the feet clever enough to play the position as an adult. Mm-hmm.
I think it all helped. I mean, you know, I played a lot of baseball, so I don't know if that helped with my, you know, the hand-eye coordination type deal, or I grew up playing basketball and then playing football. I mean, I guess it all helps.
I think if you go through your role, and if someone said, okay, you got to chop your feet, and then you got to punch forward, not too aggressively, else you're going to fall forward, and you got to keep your – so, I mean, the small details, the small intricacies of the job in order to do it right, if you told just someone to go out and try it, it is an awkward thing to try to do.
Yeah,
and like I said, as I see you play, I know somewhere as a kid growing up, the basketball helped, baseball helped, whatever sports you were in.
Absolutely. I'm definitely a supporter of letting kids play as many sports as they can. I mean, because you just it's all a learning process.
Right.
Were you a pitcher?
When I was younger, I did it. Honestly, when I was in high school, I played every position except for shortstop, and I didn't pitch in high school. But
could
I played
you,
everything else.
I'm just thinking between him and Kyle Long. I mean, you're talking about some of the biggest baseball players in the history of the sport. I mean,
you think now what we know of Kyle Long and you know of his hands and his forearms and stuff. Could you imagine him on the mound? How small the baseball would look in his hand? Once he throws as a lefty,
you wouldn't even see it until it left his fingers.
That's right? Could you see him in a baggy baseball uniform? the most awkward guy in the Bears roster, Kyle as a baseball player.
I mean, just imagine if you had him as a stopper. I'm talking about as a closer to end the game. He's got the cap, you know, when he wears his baseball cap pulled down low, he's got that intimidating look with whatever he's got going facial hair wise, you know. And his hands are enormous,
right?
The ball is so small. Whew. It's like I wouldn't be able to see it. And people like me play baseball. You know, my size, not your size.
You know, one thing about Kyle is here's a kid that's developing, and he's got a long way to go. I watched the game of him last week, and I see a couple things that he does. Like, he should have a better approach to accomplishing his job better. And then I watch him this week, and I see him do it. Mm-hmm. And it's specifically, just for the terminology, run a P11 trap or something, and his course. And then last week a little wide, this week perfect, and cleans it out, has a big collision and all that. It's neat to watch Kyle because he is so raw.
Yeah.
And then he gets away with his rawness a lot. But you think when everything clicks for a guy like Kyle and a kid like Jordan, all that, these guys got bright futures ahead of them in the NFL.
I can I definitely agree with you on that. I mean, what Kyle has, what he has 2 years of NFL experience, a couple years of college football experience, and he has a lot of mileage left on him. He's going to continue to get better, and in an offense like this, I mean, if he can continue to go up mentally and physically, I mean, the sky's the limit. I mean, he has it all, and I can't wait to see how he develops.
You know, he's so gifted physically. It reminds me of sometimes when you take a guy who's got a lot of speed and you put him in the secondary. He might not understand exactly from an instinctual standpoint where he needs to be, but he makes up for it with his speed. Kyle makes up for a lot just by being so much stronger than the guy he's playing against.
Yeah, like you said, he's very athletic. I mean, he's doing a lot of great things, and I can't wait to see him grow.
You know, in the game against the Patriots, and people didn't understand what was going on initially, but when he got the unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, he got kicked in the most sensitive of areas. When that happens, what's the right way to go about? Because you don't want to get your team in trouble. Now, the game was a little bit out of hand at that point, but what's the
protocol reaction?
Yeah, what's the protocol as a football player? Because you're not supposed to do that.
I mean, honestly, I think he handled it well. I mean,
you can't let someone take a cheap shot at you.
Yeah, I mean, and it's funny because that guy kicked me as well, and a ref was less than 10 feet away, and you know, at the end of the day, it could have got real bad, but you know, the way Kyle handled it, and from some past experiences he had in those kind of situations, it could have got ugly, you know. But I think he did a good job, and he found a way to control his emotions and continue to be poised, and he went out and he played his butt off for the rest of the game.
It's something to watch. Lineage, and they had Slater, the special teams player yesterday of New England, number 18. His dad was Jackie Slater, mm-hmm. And it's interesting to watch of father-son combinations, because Jackie Slater was a great offensive tackle for a long time, and here's his son, who's a much better athlete than his dad, just by the way he runs up and down the field. And so, you know, when you're a historian of the game and you see some of the offensive tackles through your career, is there an offensive lineman in your past from the NFL that kind of stands out in your mind, or were you a fan of other positions?
Like I said, when I was growing up, I was a huge baseball fan. Like I wanted to go to Orioles games. I just wanted to throw the ball out. You know, I'd throw the ball on the side of the house every chance I got until my mother came out and told me to stop. Or my dad was like, if you, you know, break one of those bricks, you're going to have to pay for it. So growing up, when I was real young, I was into baseball a lot. But then when I started to get into high school, I started following some of these offensive linemen, you know, your Ogdens and your Pace in his early days.
Right.
And, you know, and you see the success that those guys have. And when I got into college, man, I was my offensive line coach did a good job of showing me the way of how you prepare to be an offensive lineman, prepare to be a pro. He kind of just got my mindset right.
Jonathan Ogden was a heck of a football player, and being right there in your backyard, he would be a good. If you're ever going to get attached to a left tackle, he's a good example.
But he wanted to be Cal Ripken.
Oh yeah, that's. Behind Michael Jordan, Kyle Ripken was my favorite.
And that is why I think you have the demeanor that you do when it comes to.
Have you ever met Jordan yet?
No.
Tom has.
You well, I mean,
I need to,
same era, but you'll meet
I've spent way too much money on his shoes not to meet him yet, so I can cross paths.
MJ, if you're listening right now, you know, Bears All Access is worldwide. Give Jermon a call. We'll be back. More with Jermon Bushrod next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It's time to decide on the player of the game from last Sunday's game with the Patriots. The player of the game is brought to you by Sports Authority, all things sporting goods. With Tom Thayer and Jermon Bushrod, I'm Zach Sabin. Guys, need your help for me to decide. Here are some of the candidates. And because it went kind of the way it did, I only came up with two. Matt Forte, 100 yards rushing. Martellus Bennett, who had a big game, yards after the catch, really put on a show in the second half, including that phenomenal touchdown catch.
Yeah, I mean, you could give it to Matt every week. The guy is an example of leadership, preparedness, just the physical stature to uphold. But I got to give it to Martellus, because I think right now when the Bears are kind of striving for a target, a vertical target downfield, and then combine some yards after the catch, I think that's the thing that really excites the sidelines the most, is when you see a guy like Martellus catch it and run with high knees, run over a person and run through for an extra 10. That's a big motivating play.
Coming from me, I mean, you can give it to either one. Like you said, the things Matt has done throughout the season, catching the ball, running the ball, has been phenomenal. And, you know, kind of just to back up what you just said, the way Marty has been playing, catching the ball, I mean, he's out there running like a receiver. I mean, I seen him. Every week I watch him on tape, and I seen him yesterday. Actually, we were on the plane watching the game, and he's out there. He's breaking tackles, and you know, yesterday while we're blocking, you see the flag go up for the pass interference, and this dude's laying on the ground, and he catches the ball. I mean, like you said, I could care less who you give it to, but both of them are very deserving, and. Whatever.
We'll give it to Martellus Bennett, our Sports Authority player of the game, just because all of, and it's interesting, both those guys spent a lot of time training together during the offseason, yeah. And Martellus Bennett said that working with Matt Forte is interesting. He wanted to be more like a receiver as a tight end, and he went to train with a running back who can also play receiver. You really have to have the ability to play multiple different spots on this Bears offense, and these guys show you that flexibility.
You have to have all the talents. I think especially at a tight end position, you have to be an online blocker. You have to be a blocker on the move. You have to work out of the slot. You have to work out of the farthest wide receiver position. So there are a lot of details of the tight end job in the world today, especially even when they back up the fullback. So there's a lot of different things they have to be good at.
You played with one in New Orleans in Jimmy Graham. Mm-hmm. You saw one the other day with Rob Gronkowski. You have to have that type of a player, I think, in order to make the offense go.
Absolutely. That's the only way that this offense can continue to strive. The fact that you can put Marty back there and he can come out the backfield. Everything you just talked about. He can block out the backfield. He can get up there. He can block on these outside runs. He can stretch the field. He'll go across the middle. He'll catch it. He'll take hits. He'll get up. He'll keep running. You need that. You know, we need that to have a guy like that playing as great as he's playing this year. And all the work he's put in this offseason, seeing it pay off. Wish we could have some more W's with it, but at the end of the day, the guy is doing what he said he was going to do.
You know, the weird thing about going into your bye week is you haven't been successful as everybody expected you to be throughout the offseason, but you're not trying to get to something you've never had. It's not you're not trying to invent personnel that you don't have. You're trying to take the personnel that you're lucky enough to have and turn them into what they're capable of being.
Yep.
And you think about it, if it does take the concentration of everybody to make sure they're mentally prepared and then they're going to have physical confidence, that you're really fortunate to have the personnel grouping that you're trying to improve throughout the rest of the season.
I can agree with you on that. We have the weapons. We have it. And the thing about this bye week, we all just have to get to a quiet place and figure out, you know, what can we do? You know, what can we do better? What can we do as an individual, and what can we do as a unit to help this offense out? You know, whatever has to be done, you know, we have to be selfless. We have to give it up for the cause, and we have to continue to find a way.
Is that what you learn most during the tough times? Because I'm sure before you won a championship in New Orleans, you guys went through some tough times to build up to that point. What's strange here is that we're talking about veteran players, guys that have been there, like Tom talked about, and you know it. You look across the line, these are guys that have played before, you've played together, you know, veteran play caller as well. Are you surprised that we're still talking about this at this point?
Well, when you don't have just when you don't succeed the way that you're capable, or you feel like you should succeed, you're going to talk about it, and we'll continue to talk about it until we get it corrected and we play how we're supposed to play.
Well, the challenge here too is you see it on the road. The Bears have the greatest fans, and they follow you guys, and they are loyal. And I think that's part of it too. Is you know, I grew up here since 1961. I've been a Bears fan my whole life. And when you have the expectations of the offseason, that's all you talk about. You don't talk about the Cubs, the Sox, the Blackhawks, the Bulls. You talk about what the Bears are expected to do. And we all had Super Bowl expectations. We had division-winning expectations. And I think that's the direction everybody just wants to get back to. Yeah. And it all it does is take one game to get everybody back, get their arrows pointed up, and have an enthusiastic approach to the next week of football.
See, both of you guys have won rings, so you know what it takes. When you look at the team, it's the little things that are preventing you guys from doing the big things that we saw a year ago.
Mm-hmm. I can agree.
And to me, and I know I can see it. I see it when I talk to you or any of your teammates. Those little attention to detail things that are not happening. And is that just something that sometimes you forget that you need to really hone in on those little things in order to create plays? Because an offense needs everybody to function together.
Yeah, like we're our skill group has to be on the same page as the quarterback, and we have to be on the same page with our quarterback. So, you know, everything starts with him, and our communication up front and what we do up front, it all starts with that. And it's difficult for me to talk about what other positions have to do because I'm not in their meetings. But as far as us up front, I mean, if we can't get it done, then this offense goes nowhere.
That's been one of the big issues so far this season. When we come back, we'll find out what Jermon Bushrod has been doing this week just to get away, clear the mind, and refocus for the second half. That's next on Bears All Access. He's flexible on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Watch Bears Game Night Live, brought to you by CDW, Sundays at 10:35 p.m. on Fox Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. Tom Thayer's here. I'm Zach Sabin. Jermon Bushrod, our guest here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. All right, so what have you done to clear the mind, get that zen-like focus that you need for half number two of the football season?
I just been around getting a couple lifts in. You know, getting a run in, trying to make sure that I'm feeling good, but I don't want to lose everything I've been working towards. I mean, yeah, we get a week off, but it's not really a week off. You know, you have to make sure you're ready to go come practice time on Monday. You know, I just been enjoying the time with the wife and the kids, and making up for some lost time a little bit, and kind of just enjoying being home. You know. For a little bit and getting out in the city a little bit.
It seems like every day you have practice, it's hard to wake up in the morning, and every day you don't have practice, it's easy to get up in the morning. Will you go somewhere, or will you stay in the area and relax that way? Or I don't even know if would I want to go through the airport, get to a location, and then do it all again a week later. You know, again, I'm from this area, but a lot of people would like to go home and see their families.
Well, when I was in my younger days, when we had 4, 5, 6 days off for a bye week, you know, I would go somewhere for like 3 or 4 days and just kind of get away. But, you know, now I have the wife and the kids, and I probably will make a short trip to Towson. We actually have a late homecoming game this year, so I might try to make it up there, go see some old friends and go catch up with a couple coaches just for a night. I might just fly in early Saturday, come back early Sunday just to get a little change of scenery for a day. But for the most part, man, I don't really have the energy to just go somewhere for like 4 or 5 days. I just want to try to sleep in, even though I can't.
when you look at Tom, and he went to Notre Dame and then ended up in the NFL, you had to take a different route because you're talking about playing at a small school. When do you know? I'm sure you knew right away, just based on the level of competition you were playing, I can do this. Was there a moment? Because you didn't play football until later on in your athletic development, and then you go to Towson. When was that moment? Was there a moment where you just started to realize, I can do this at an extremely high level?
Probably
in high school.
I wish I could say that. No, it was probably like when I first got into the league. You know, I've always been the type of player just to kind of, you know, take this thing one day at a time, one week at a time, you know. Just try to make the most out of this opportunity that you know, that I do have, that I've been blessed with. And you know, when I got drafted, you know, you still have doubts. You know, I came from a 1AA school, so you don't really know how you're going to match up. But you know, my first year, it was a blessing in disguise that I wasn't thrown in there too early, because you know, it just gave me some time to develop, to really see, okay, the level of competition I'm about to get myself into. So then I had my first off season, so then I can physically prepare myself and then mentally prepare myself for, you know, for this journey. You know, I've always said, you know, every off season, you know, you got to go out there and you got to continue to earn it every single off season, every single practice. You know, you have to have the same mindset. You know, this isn't like college. You know, this is my job. This is my likelihood. This is what I want to do. This is where I want to be in life. So, for me, younger, you know, I think it was good that I had some time to develop. And once I got that opportunity to start, it was actually the day before my birthday, I got an opportunity to start back in 2009 when our left tackle went down in New Orleans. And I just try to build. I just try to build off of that. I try to, you know, work on my weaknesses and work on some things that I feel like I can get better at. And I'm going to do that until they kick me out of this organization.
You know, I came from Notre Dame because there's other guys that went in the NFL. Was there anybody from your school or from your division or from your league that went into the NFL that made you believe if they made it, then you belong?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the cool thing about, you know, being a 1AA guy and coming, you know, we were the best 1AA conference and still are the best 1AA conference. When you see other guys that you played against, you know, get free agent opportunities and they make a team, or they get drafted and they have success, well, you're like, you know, why can't that be me? And, you know, going back to, you know, my offensive line coach in college, the way that he, you know, just mentally prepared me to, you know, for this journey, I think that's the reason I'm here or have this opportunity today, because he took my focus, which might have been at an average level, and he took it higher, you know, and I thank him for that every time we talk.
Is he still there, or did he?
Yeah, he's actually. We had a whole coaching change, and he's the only guy still that stuck through or made the cuts with them.
So when you come back, even to visit for a day, I'm sure he uses you as an example for his guys, and they must hang on every word that you say.
Yeah,
because it's not like Notre Dame. You know, Tom goes, then there's Tim Brown. There's so many different guys, but it, you know, at Towson, you're the guy that they look to to aspire to be like. Yeah. I would think.
Yeah, I would. I guess I can agree with you on that.
you know, it's where you just look at investigated talent, because you've Cheney State, Big Cat Williams. I'm sure you met Big Cat since you've been here. Defensive tackle when he came here turned into an offensive lineman. So it's about the development of talent, size, and athleticism and desire. That's the key ingredient to anybody they find at whatever level, is how much you're willing to put into it to cultivate what you've been able to.
We got to take a commercial break. When we come back, if they're young offensive linemen listening, I mean, who better to learn from than the two of you? We'll get your take on what you need to do to develop at that level. That's next on Bears All Access with Jermon Bushrod and Tom Thayer on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Bears Coaches Show, brought to you by McDonald's, featuring Jeff Joniak and the Bears coaching staff, airs Monday nights at 6:30 p.m. on WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. This is also one of those shows, Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority with Tom Theron, Jermaine Bushrod. I'm Zach Zaidman, and, you know, a lot of times we have youngsters listening, and, you know, you guys probably get this all the time when you meet guys out in the community, but if you want to be a lineman, Tom always says it's not a decision. It just happens because of your size, right? So if you have that size and you're in high school right now, or you're about to go into high school, what's the key? What should you do to kind of develop everything you've got?
You know, you have to enjoy the practices. You have to enjoy going to work, because it's not a fun job to do every day. It's really monotonous, and it is a job that you have physical contact, even the practice drills you go through, an individual period. But it's a fun position, because you have to take the camaraderie within the 5 to 11 guys that you're going to get a chance to play with, because they're I always say offensive linemen are the second nicest professional athletes next to professional hockey players, but it's a great group to be in within the team, and it takes unique personalities, a heavier set guy, a clumsier guy, a guy with longer arms, but then they develop into a quality of talent that makes it a fun chance to be with a great group of guys.
It's five guys having to operate as one. You know, you said it earlier when you talked about playing with Matt Slauson, and how you guys can just look at one another, and you know you don't even have to second guess exactly what he's going to do when you're doing something based on what a defense is doing to you guys.
Yeah. I mean, when you're up there, it's all five of us, and we all have to be on the same page at all times. And you know, usually, you know, we cover each other's backs, and that's one thing that I love about being an offensive lineman. I mean, you know, if one guy makes a mistake, we try to have their back as much as possible, and that's just a good thing about it, man. You know, with my development nowadays, your technique is everything. You know, trying to stay true to that technique and getting in there, lifting and putting the extra work in, the extra footwork drills when you don't feel like doing it, but you got to do it. You know what? You know where are you going to be? You know, it's easy to play video games all day. And trust me, I've played numerous hours of video games. I've ate numerous snacks, watched numerous movies, but I've put in, you know, just the work. You know, just getting out there, lifting and taking a lot of notes. You know, I fill up a bunch of notebooks to this day. Not as many as my rookie year, but always, every single play, you know, I'm taking notes every single play on a bunch of different things that I have to correct. It used to be real bad.
You know, Jermaine, I think the regular season, the games are kind of a reward. I think if you had to live the life of an off season with an NFL football player, because now I'm a has-been. I go to the gym and I do just like everybody else does. I move around, get sweaty. But when you go to the gym and you have to try to bench over 500, try to squat over 800, try to do these lifts of enormous weights, even if you never achieve them, but you still are challenging your body every single day in the off season. That's one thing I think people lose in the transition of being a Jermaine Bushrod on a Sunday in New England, what you did in July, you know, January, February, March, and April, what you know, those types of things you do to your body.
During the season, it's mentally draining, and in the off season, it's mentally and physically draining. I mean, because you're going to push yourself to all kinds of limits, and once you achieve those goals, you want it more, but it's harder, just like you were saying.
Especially in a locker room that includes Roberto Garza, who might be the strongest guy on the team.
It's unreal, man. The guy's almost 50, and he's
I didn't say it. I did not say it.
How about but no, I gotta say he's honestly he has to be the hardest working person in this organization.
We talked about it quickly. Jimbo Covert wore a 74. You wore a 74. Mm-hmm. Two great left tackles. Jay Hilgenberg wore 63, eight or seven time consecutive Pro Bowler. Yesterday in the stands, there's a young lady with a 63 jersey on. Of all jerseys that they're celebrating in the great history of the Bears, she has a 63.
The best part about that is, so her boyfriend or husband starts screaming at Garza, hey Garza, look, a 63 jersey. And Roberto doesn't even miss a beat. He looks up, he sees the jersey and goes, it's got to be for Jay Hilgenberg.
But she was so proud. Roberto came over and signed her jersey. Yeah. And you think of what, you know, a 70,000 seat stadium, and you get the guy you wearing your jersey, and he comes up and signs it. And again, you lose again. That's still the thrill of the NFL for the people that sit in there and buy the tickets and get a chance to rub elbows with the person you're wearing the jersey.
Guys, thank you, Jermon. Thank you so much. It's been an action-packed hour, and we hope that you have a little bit more success in the second half.
We need it.
No little more.
All right, a lot more.
All right.
A lot more. For Tom Thayer and Jermon Bushrod, I'm Zach Sabin saying thanks for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.